Hello, this is Robert Kiyosaki. Now, first of all, I want to thank you for listening to this program. I am the author of a book called Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and Rich Dad, Poor Dad is a true story about my two dads. My real dad was a head of education in the state of Hawaii, where I grew up. He was a very, very smart man. I would say probably an academic genius. But although he was a very smart and well-educated man, I call him my poor dad very simply because no matter how much money he made, he was broke at the end of every month. In fact, he said, you know, I'm a school teacher, so I'll never be rich. And his words became a self-fulfilling prophecy. My rich dad was my best friend's father, and although he was a man who started with nothing, he ultimately became one of the wealthiest men in the state of Hawaii. So when you look at Waikiki Beach, you know, the white sand beaches, the blue ocean, the hula girls, the tall palm trees, and the hotels, my rich dad owned some of the land under those hotels. And he, like I said, he started with nothing, but he ultimately became one of the richest men in Hawaii. So Rich Dad, Poor Dad is a true story about what two fathers tell their two sons, my best friend and I, about the subject of money. And what this series is about, Choose to Be Rich, is you will find that much of money is very simply your ideas. And the thing that I had that was a benefit by having two dads was I got to contrast or listen to two exactly opposite opposing ideas on money. Much of this series is about how different people think. You see, if you think like a rich person, the chances of being rich are pretty good. Think like a middle-class person, so be it. And the poor think in their own certain way. And I think you'll find that the thinking is exactly opposite. For instance, my poor dad always said, you know, it's really smart to have a good, safe, secure job, and it's risky to start a business. Whereas my rich dad said, having a safe, secure job is risky, and it's really smart to have a business. My poor dad said it was really smart to save money and risky to invest. And my rich dad said it was very risky to save and it was much smarter to invest. And you'll find that it goes exactly opposite. And I wanted to assure you the rich are not smarter or better than you. They just overcome different things. And really what I'd like to present with you right now are some of the things that I personally had to overcome to become very wealthy. I want to say we all face these things. First of all is the fear of losing. You know, so many people, whether it's losing face, losing money, losing friends, losing respect, whatever it is, we all face fear. And one of the things I always hear people saying is, well, I got to cling to my safe, secure job because they're afraid of taking a risk. And as we all know, if you want to learn to ride a bicycle, you might need to take a risk. But so many people have been conditioned by home and by school that if you make a mistake, that's bad. And if you make a mistake, they punish you in school. You're stupid. So much of our culture is, you know, mistake avoidance or don't get rejected or, you know, all that other stuff. Don't lose money. Yet the reality is those that are willing to take risk, those that maybe fail but stand up again, are far more successful in the long run than those who take no risk. So I'd like to tell you a story about losing money. One of the biographies my rich dad had me read was the biography of Henry Ford. He thought Henry Ford was one of the most brilliant capitalists he'd ever heard about. So I was reading this book, and the section comes up where somebody asked Henry Ford, well, big deal, you know, a reporter said, big deal, you're a billionaire. What would happen if we took your $1 billion away? And this was back in the 1920s, I believe. And Henry Ford just looked at him and said, be no problem. I'd have it all back or more in less than 5 years. So the point of it here is not only is how you think, but it's also what you know that gives you confidence. Avoiding risk does not increase your confidence. Avoiding making mistakes does not increase your confidence. The people that avoid risk, refuse to make mistakes, not take any chances at all, are the people where the fear only increases it. It doesn't decrease. So when I was first starting out, I too, like anybody else, was afraid of losing. I didn't want to go broke. I didn't want to lose money. I remember when I quit my job to start my first business. I was working for Xerox, great company. I had great friends. I remember my sales manager saying to me, he says, you'll be back in 2 years. You're going to fail. And I sat there going, and you know, he didn't need to say that. I was already scared stiff anyway, you know. I was shaking in my boots. But nonetheless, I knew that if I didn't take that risk, I would never overcome the fear. That if I backed down, that fear would always be there. I was recently asked by somebody, what happens if you had no money? What would you do? What would happen if I said to you, you could only work at McDonald's for $5 an hour? I said, that'd be no problem, because I still have the idea that Henry Ford has, that once you learn it, they can't ever take what you know away from you. If you don't learn it, you're always afraid of not knowing it. So let's say I lost everything. The first thing I would do was get a job at McDonald's. If you said to me, you had to work at McDonald's for the rest of your life, not that McDonald's is a bad company, but that's all you could do, and the most you could make is $5 an hour, could I still become rich? The answer is yes. Because the reality is it has nothing to do with how much money I earn. It has to do with how smart I am with managing what I earn and investing what I earn. Nothing to do with McDonald's. So let's say right now I went to work for McDonald's. That's all I could do for the rest of my life. I would be rich within 2 years. The reality is because what I know would allow me to go out there and invest. The first thing I would do is find some new company to acquire or to buy. I still work at McDonald's. I'd scale down to a little apartment maybe, get my expenses so I could afford living at $5 an hour. And then I would go out in my spare time, because that's where the rich really get rich, it's in their spare time. I'd go out, either build a company or invest in real estate. And people say, well, how can you invest if you have no money? Well, because I've learned how to raise capital by asking investors to invest with me. And investors know how to invest with me because I know how to make money with their money. That's what happens. So even if I worked for McDonald's for the rest of my life, which would be fine, work my 8-hour shift and go home, I could still be rich. If you look at the people who became the wealthiest in the world, they often started their businesses in their dorm room, as Michael Dell did, or in their garage, as Hewlett-Packard did. It has nothing to do with your job or how much money you make. So the moment I know that it doesn't make any difference if I win or lose, my confidence goes up. And that's part of what I'd like to have you learn with this series, Choose to Be Rich. Before going on to the next part, this fear of failure is a very big issue for most people's lives. So I'd like to give you an example of how to look at it. All of us at one time in our life did not know how to ride a bicycle. And I'm sure all of us, the first time we got on one without the training wheels, were all terrified. And I'm sure some of us actually fell off. But did that falling off cause us not to get back on? The reality is, I think most of us climbed back on. And we eventually learned to ride. I still remember the day I could ride without training wheels. It was one of the most freeing, exhilarating experiences of my life. Now, if somebody said, guess what? We're going to take your bicycle away from you and give you a new bicycle. Would that scare you? No, because it doesn't make any difference, because once you learn to ride one bicycle, you can ride the other one. And that's what diminishes fear, is that not the fear of failing, but going through the fear and learning how to overcome it and become competent. So one of the things I'm going to talk about on this series is that many people think that failure is a noun. You know, they say, oh, I fell off, failed again, I'm a failure. See, nouns are person, places, or things. So people think because they failed, they're a failure. Really is, failure is a verb. And congratulations for failing, because at least you took action. You know, as Nike says, just do it. You took action, you fell down. So failure is a verb, not a noun. The only people who are the biggest failures are people who forget that. It's people who don't do anything and don't take any action. And since they take no action, they never get ahead. All they have is their fear. So the next thing I had to overcome was cynicism. And you'd be surprised if you think about it. That is a very big subject. I have a friend who's my accountant, and she's recently been buying lots of real estate. And the hardest thing for her is not her success, is the cynicism of her friends and family. I mean, her mother and father say, you're going to fail. You're being too risky. What are you doing? You know, play it safe. And she says, it actually hurts because here she is so happy. She's bought 9 houses in less than a year. She's almost financially free. And the more free she gets, the more the cynicism goes up. And I watch that, and it reminds me of my own family. Or I told you earlier, even though I love Xerox and most of the employees when I left wished me luck, it was my one salesman that says, you'll be back. I've seen guys like you before. You won't make it. You know, that's one type of cynicism with cynicism outside of you. There's another type of cynicism, which is cynicism inside of you. And that's your self-doubt. You know, I'm not smart. I'm not good-looking. I'm not educated. You know, I failed before. What makes me think I can succeed again? One of the things or challenges that I personally have to overcome, I think most of us have to overcome, is understanding that it is ourselves that are in our way. That if you know there's nothing outside of you to handle, that all you have to do is handle yourself somehow, And the more you handle it, the good news is the stronger you get. And the stronger you get, it's like water off a duck's back. You know, the people will criticize you, so what? I will say in this program that one of the best lessons my rich dad gave me was that one-third of the people love you, one-third of the people hate you, and one-third don't even care. And your job is to make the one-third that doesn't care like you. But if you tune in to the one-third that hate you, you'll go nowhere. So part of life is knowing who to listen to, and that includes yourself. My two final thoughts on cynicism is this. A stockbroker friend of mine in Toronto said that cynics never win. They don't really lose, but they never really win simply because they're so cynical. You know, they don't let themselves go. They're almost like they're so cynical of themselves, something rotting inside of them. The other thing, as my other friend says, is that the world has never erected a statue to a cynic. They've always erected statues to people who have taken great risks, done bold deeds, and gone beyond the skeptics of the world. So one of the third things I had to overcome was laziness. And now when I look at laziness, you know, sometimes it's fear as well as cynicism that cause people to be lazy or to have the appearance of being lazy. Because, you know, if you're fearful or you're afraid of being criticized or criticizing yourself, you won't do anything. To explain further, in this series, I'll be talking about good laziness and bad laziness, just as I'll be talking about good debt, bad debt, good expenses, bad expenses. What I'm talking about here is bad laziness. And bad laziness is laziness that actually is detrimental to yourself, where you don't do anything. Sometimes you may call it analysis paralysis. Maybe just be, oh, I give up. You know, I failed again. Why should I even try? I'm just going to fail again. And those are some of the emotional things underneath laziness. And the trouble with laziness, it actually costs you the most valuable thing in your life, is your time. And when we talk a lot about this, is how valuable your time is. So if you're being lazy and not getting ahead, you're not hurting anybody else but yourself. So another form of laziness is looking busy. You know, I see a lot of people who go to work, you know, they play with their kids, you know, I'm doing a good job being a good father, or I'm shopping, or I'm cleaning the yard, or I'm going fishing. But deep down, that kind of busyness is actually masking another kind of laziness. And what I mean by laziness is this. If you know you need to do something, I remember when you were a kid, you knew you had to do your homework, but instead you say, well, I'm helping mom. Well, I'm going to go to baseball practice. Well, I'm going to go help out at the church. That's another kind of laziness by being busy. So the point I'm making here, part of this series, Choose to Be Rich, is really have you look at what you really need to be doing. See, some of you right now are treading water financially. You're going to work, money's coming in and money's going out. There's a part of you that knows you need to do something differently. So that is another kind of bad laziness, even though you're busy. So the third kind of laziness, I think is good laziness, is laziness where you do less and produce extraordinary results. One of the things my poor dad always said was work hard. And what my rich dad said is don't work hard, produce extraordinary results. The way you can do that is by doing less and having something else do more for you, like having money work for you or having your business work for you, or having other people work hard for you. This idea of working hard is sometimes another way of being busy. As my rich dad often said, most people aren't in a business, they're actually in a busyness. They're just staying busy, avoiding doing something they know they need to do, and that's bad laziness. So if I could take a few moments and go into this idea of good laziness, because I think most of us, especially if you're listening to this series, probably came from a very hard work ethic. And I don't mean don't work hard. I think when I speak about laziness, it really does mean work smart, but it means you're physically not doing the work. And that's another term, a very important term, which we will cover in this series, a term called leverage. Let me give you one specific example. Most people think debt is bad. You know, there's a lot of people going around saying, cut up your credit cards. Yet the good debt is debt you use for leverage. In other words, if I can use borrowed money to buy a large apartment house and it makes me more and more money every year, that's called leverage. So because I've used leverage, I can do nothing because my apartment house is not working for me. That's good laziness, and it's good laziness because I use debt as leverage to buy an asset that makes me richer. Unfortunately, what most people do is because they're hardworking and they want to enjoy life more, they use debt to buy bad leverage because they buy a bigger and bigger house, which keeps them working harder and harder. So the middle class is working harder and harder to buy bigger and bigger houses. The problem is it's their sweat and their labor that is buying that big house and not good debt, not using somebody else to pay for your big house for you. That's one example of it. Another example of it, another reason a lot of people are not rich is because they think they have to be smart. I've heard more people say, I can't be rich, you know, I don't have a college degree, or, you know, I didn't go to a good university, or I only have a high school degree, or, you know, I didn't graduate from high school. It has nothing to do with that. Nothing. That is not an excuse. If you're lazy, and what I mean by lazy is you're smart lazy, you're good lazy, you will know that if you surround yourself with people who are smart, you're far better off than somebody who is smart and surrounds himself with nothing. So the excuse that you don't have a good education or you're not smart, you will find that has nothing to do with being rich. If you're really not smart, it actually can be an advantage because you'll surround yourself with smarter people. And that's another example of good laziness. And a lot of people say, you know, I can't get rich because I'm working so hard. I can't take on another job. I'm already working three jobs. Well, that's not smart. That's being busy. That's called busyness. If you are smart, if you're really good at being lazy, you will find other ways to produce more money without having to work. And that's what I mean by good laziness. So the thing we're going to talk about is what you think is good laziness and what bad laziness is. I think you'll find out you can be very rich and not be very smart and not be very bright and not have to work very hard by using good laziness to work in your advantage. And that's what we'll be discussing in this series, Choose to Be Rich, is how to use leverage so that you can earn more and work less.